So welcome everyone to another Feldenkrais online lesson. This series that we're going into this time is by request. There have been a lot of people asking about habitual tension, stress, and how the Feldenkrais method can help. And I've really been thinking a lot about it because sometimes I look at Feldenkrais lessons and I think, well, geez, any lesson will help with that because I always trigger my parasympathetic learning system and I always feel more relaxed after a lesson. But I started to go deeper into asking myself, where do I habitually hold? Why do I habitually hold? And what are some of the different challenges we experience and how can I address them from a Feldenkrais perspective? So the lessons we're going to be doing in this series are, you know, not necessarily complex or physically challenging, but they are lessons that will give us an opportunity to look at how I experience myself in different ways. And at the same time, I've also been looking at some of the places we hold. So during the course of these four lessons, we're going to be focusing in different areas that are habitually tense. So they may or may not be yours, but I found that sometimes when I free up one area, other areas free up as well. So today we're going to be looking a little bit about how our hips and our pelvis are related to each other when we use them. And we're going to use that as a way to look at my response to challenge. So for example, right now, as you're lying there, you're in a resting position. You could have your legs bent, you could have your legs long, but you're not having any kind of a demand made upon you. And as you're doing that, you can be lying there enjoying your breath, sensing your breath, and this is your breath at rest. So taking note, the length of your inhale, the length of your exhale, what moves as you're breathing right now? Maybe you feel the abdomen, the diaphragm area. Perhaps there's some movement in the rib cage. Again, you don't have to make anything happen. This is your observation of yourself at rest. And then feeling what's happening in the back of you as you breathe. Perhaps you feel a response in the spine or in other parts behind you. Again, the back ribs, the back of the ribs. And throughout the lesson, we'll come back to checking in to see if, as you experience different parts of yourself, your breath changes. Our breath is very related to our emotional state, to our sense of ease and comfort. And so when it experiences challenge, it changes, and that changes my emotional affect as well. And then take a moment to just notice the parts that are connecting to the floor right now, where you feel contact behind the pelvis, the shoulders, the back of the head. And then pay attention to your legs and how your legs are coming into your pelvis, right? So you might, if your legs are long right now, you're going to feel that kind of a little bit of a pulling, a little bit of an extension in the front of yourself. And you're also experiencing a little bit of extension in the back of yourself, right? Because when your legs are long, it's pulling on your hip flexors a little bit and they attach to your back. Now, as you're lying there sensing that, could you also turn your attention to what we call your sits bones, your two sits bones, also called your ischial tuberosities? They're the two bones all the way at the bottom of your pelvis in the back. They're the bones that you sit on when you're sitting in a chair. So it's kind of interesting to feel them when you're lying down. It's not the same But you can sense, and if you want to, you can even put your hands underneath and see if you can find those sits bones to just notice for yourself, are they directly across from each other? Does one feel a little further down? Or maybe one feels more prominent to you? And how do those two sits bones influence what's happening in your hip joint? Or you could say, how is what's happening in your hip joint affect the organization of that area? So we'll be investigating that as well. Now, just so that we have an understanding of this relationship of the hip flexors, go ahead and bend your legs and put your feet standing for a moment so you can really feel as you bend your legs, you know, there's a little bit of relief in the front of you because those flexors bent, shortened a little bit. And at the same time, that allows your back to lengthen so you can feel how your back is more against the floor. And just taking in for yourself whether this feels more pleasant for you, more comfortable, more supported. And then you can leave your legs bent for a moment, but I want you to turn your attention right now to your head. And just very gently begin to roll your head right and left. Just easily, very gently. And as you're rolling your head right and left, you can begin to attend to what happens as the weight of the head influences your shoulder girdle, your ribs, again, all the way down to the pelvis. And then let that go and straighten your legs out again and come back to your breath. Did your breath change just from doing that small activity? Just noticing. So now, could you begin to roll your right leg a little out to the right and a little bit in? Not so much in as much as out. So just really feeling as you do that, first of all, is it easy? And where do you feel the work in the groin area, in your buttock? Do you feel anything underneath that sit bone as you're rolling that right leg a little out and a little back? Does your pelvis respond in any way? Doesn't have to. I'm just asking the question. And now could you begin to roll that leg so that, you know, if you kept on rolling it, your knee would open out to the side. Your right knee opens out to the side and it would start to drag your right heel up towards your torso. So it's a small movement right now. Don't make it too big, but you're just kind of rolling the leg out to the right and then dragging the heel up and bringing it back down. And as you're doing this movement, this is where we want to begin to explore the relationship of the hip joints and how we use them. So just check in for yourself and notice, what are you choosing to do in order to mobilize your leg? Do you feel a contraction in your buttock or in your stomach? Do you feel any movement in your pelvis? Does your pelvis roll or flex in some way? What do you feel in your spine as you are rolling the leg out and bringing the heel up? And then just pause a moment, and we're going to explore some of these options because it's really interesting. I was teaching this class the other day, and there was an ex-ballerina in the class, and she spoke about the fact that when she habitually wants to move her leg, what she does is she tightens her hips, her pelvis, in order to isolate the leg. And so that is one way to do it. And you can try it right now. If you roll your leg out to the right and then grip in your buttocks so that you can move your leg out to the side without anything else moving, you'll get a sense of a way to isolate your leg. And then let that go And try this. As you roll your leg out to the right, allow your pelvis to roll to the right a little bit. I mean, you might find that your left leg rolls a little bit to the right also. However much you need to make the movement of the leg as effortless as possible. So you'll feel like you're shifting your weight a little bit to the right as you roll that leg out. And now pause a moment, and I want you to just come back to sensing your spine. As you're lying there with your spine in contact with the floor, you may feel that there's a space underneath your lower back, but can you for a moment just picture that the spine is long and fluid? You don't have to do anything, but just imagine that those vertebrae are differentiated and very free. And then keeping that image of this long spine in contact with the floor, so it remains in contact with the floor. Could you once again roll your right leg out to the right and drag the knee up? Maybe your pelvis will move, maybe your pelvis won't move. It doesn't matter right now. But what happens when you try to maintain the same contact of your spine with the floor as it is when you're at rest and you move that leg? And then let it go and just rest. And just take a moment in resting to notice the sensation in your leg, in your breath. And then turn your attention to your left leg. And just begin with the easy movement of rolling the leg first without even bending it. Just to sense for yourself, there's always a little bit of a difference in how the groin muscle functions, what you're feeling on the inside of your thigh. And at the same time, your brain already knows something because of what we did on the other side. So now continue. Let the knee bend out to the left and start dragging that heel up. And as you're doing that movement, you can begin to ask yourself, am I contracting? Am I using muscular tension in order to be able to move the leg? Is it easier if I roll my pelvis? What happens if I include this image of a long spine that stays in contact with the floor as I move my leg? Notice your breathing. When you make one of these choices, either any one of these choices, the pelvis moving, the pelvis not moving, that influence, that easy, comfortable, resting breath. It may seem like, no, this is nothing. I'm doing nothing. And yet you're expanding the field of your attention to be able to include more of yourself. And then let that go and rest. And I want to say, because a lot of this lesson does involve the relationship of those flexors and how they go into your lower back, if you're starting to feel tension from lying on your back flat, you can please feel free when you're resting to rest with your knees bent if you want to. So it's up to you, kind of taking care of yourself as we do this. Hopefully through the course of the lesson, that part of your back is going to start to let go. But I know that in the beginning, sometimes as we're doing this movement, sometimes people still feel their tension. So now go back to your right leg, and whichever way you feel is most easy and pleasurable for you, could you once again begin rolling your right leg out to the right? And as you draw your knee up as far as it goes comfortably, Bring the knee to the ceiling so that your foot comes to standing. And then to reverse the movement, you let your knee open out to the right and then slide down. So for the purposes of this, because we're looking at how to make it as effortless as possible, let's add the pelvis moving. So it's got like a little bit of a dance that you're doing. The pelvis rolls to the right as your knee goes to the right, and then the pelvis rolls back to the center, and then the pelvis rolls out to the right and comes back to the center. And, you know, it's interesting. I said the pelvis rolls, but it's like, what rolls the pelvis? Is it the leg and the weight of the leg mobilizing your pelvis? Or is it something in your back and in your belly, especially when you bring the knee up? What's bringing the knee up? And then let it go and rest. And now try the same thing with the left leg. Roll your left leg out to the left. Allow your pelvis to join in. And by the way, notice what the rest of you is wanting to do. What are you feeling in your ribs, in your shoulders, in your head, in your neck? It doesn't have to be doing anything, but again, we're expanding our fields to see what it is we do. Do we have auxiliary movements? Are they necessary? Are they unnecessary? And then let it all go and rest. So this frog leg movement, we often call this lesson frog legs in different contexts, is, yes, it's a developmental movement that we often see children as they're trying to figure out how to get their legs to move. But because our leg muscles are so connected in the hip joint area and in the back, that it really gives us information about some of our holding patterns in that area. And our hips, they're a place where we have hidden tensions. You know, you can tell a person is tense sometimes by looking at how they're holding their shoulders or the way they're clenching their teeth or even sometimes in the set of the front of the chest. But the hips are hard to notice because they're hidden deep inside the pelvis. And you might be able to pick up on somebody's tension by the way they walk, but we carry these primal, deep emotions, whether it's grief or fear, in our hip joints. And of course, there's our relationship with the psoas, which is one of our big flexors in our hip area. So this frog leg lesson offers you an opportunity to come in touch with those aspects of your inner anatomy that we really don't often speak to. But now I'm going to change the subject and turn your attention to your head. So go back to rolling your head like you did in the beginning of the lesson. And as you're rolling your head, just notice if you're able to take in more of yourself than you did when you first rolled your head. Right? As we become more sensitive, we become more able to notice things. And as you're continuing to roll your head, could you begin to take note of what you are doing with your eyes? Your breath is still soft and easy, and your eyes could be doing any number of things. They could be leading the way. They could be just staying in the center. They could be sinking into your skull. They could be looking out at what you're doing, right? If you have your eyes open. So your eyes have many, many choices here, just noticing what you do. And then pause a moment. And now, leaving your head still, could you begin to move your eyes right and left? And as you're moving your eyes, begin to pay attention to what, if anything, you're feeling in the back of your head or the back of your neck. So sometimes we can feel that connection of the muscles of the eyes to the neck, which is a very profound connection, right? When I want to look at something, my eyes go, my head follows. It's very much programmed in us. So you may feel that there's an impulse to want to move your head with your eyes. And so just like when you're moving your legs and your pelvis, you have an option. You could obviously let your head go along with you, or you could use contraction, tension to keep your head in place and just move the eyes in an isolated fashion. Or you could picture the muscles of your neck being soft, long, light, so that your eyes could begin to differentiate as opposed to isolate from the movement of your head. This ability to be able to differentiate your eyes actually can improve your vision, and it allows you more choice in rotation and how you respond to the world. So you may find that maybe you can't move your eyes as far when you let go in the back of the neck, or as quickly. Just pay attention and notice how that works for you. And then pause again. And now let's include the eyes with the head. So let your eyes lead your head to the right and to the left. And notice your rhythm, your tempo. And then pause a moment. And then can you continue rolling your head, but allow your eyes to just rest in your head? So you have a couple of options here. You could have your eyes open, and as you're turning your head, allow yourself to softly gaze as if the entire room, every detail in the room is absolutely fascinating. Or you could have your eyes closed and feel your eyes just sinking into the back of your head and just noticing, right, that you're able to move your head without your eyes bossing you around. As you're doing this, come back in touch with your breathing and notice whether this kind of concentration influences your ability to breathe easily. And then pause again. And now can you try turning your head in one direction while you move your eyes in the opposite direction? And see if you can do the timing in such a way that it's not like you're shooting your eyes over and then trying to throw your head over, but where the eyes and the head kind of pass each other in the middle very easily, very delicately. If you've never done this before, it will feel very bizarre. Don't feel like you have to do it well. No one is going to rate you on your ability to differentiate your eyes from your head. But pay attention to what you're feeling in the back of your neck, because if you can keep the back of your neck soft as you're doing this movement, you're going to really experience a change in what's happening in that whole thoracic area, the upper thoracic area. And then let that go. And just rest a moment. And now we're going to turn our attention back to the movement of the legs, but you're going to begin to also include your head. So we're just going to do the right side for a moment. Just letting your right leg roll out to the right. And as it rolls out to the right, let your head roll to the right. And then as your leg comes to the center, your head comes to the center. And as your leg goes out to the right, your head rolls to the right, etc. And notice that just because you've added this big ball of your head moving, that your pelvis just wants to move, right? So sense the whole shape of your spine as your leg rolls out and your head rolls to the right, you're kind of moving your spine over, and how easy it is now for that pelvis to move. And how you're able to keep that easy breathing as you do it. And then let it go and rest. And then begin doing the same thing with the left leg. Left leg rolls out to the left. Your head rolls to the left, sensing the weight change. And see if as you continue doing this, again, expanding our field of attention and ability to think about that spine, the spine being long and fluid, right? So you're not adding any tension. There's no performance involved here, right? Taking your time so that when you feel like you're tensing in your back anywhere or making an effort, that you're able to just let that go, pause a moment, do whatever you need to do in order to keep that easy for you. Noticing your breath. Noticing your shoulder blades. And then let it go and rest. And just take a moment at this point to notice your contact with the floor. Has anything changed just from doing this small movement? So now come back to the right leg and same movement, roll your right leg out to the right, drag it up, bring the foot up to standing, and then pause. And then roll your left leg out to the left. Again, your head goes with you here. And then you've got both feet standing, and then let your right leg open out to the right as your head rolls to the right. Slide your right leg down. And then your left leg. So now you're creating this circular movement, going right and then left and then right and then left, and allowing the head to move in that rhythm with you. And see if each time you do it, you can let something else go. Maybe the belly, maybe the buttocks. What is really necessary? Can I think of myself, for example, right now as just a bag of bones? Of course, you are using your muscles to move things, but can you think about yourself skeletally and remove your extra effort? And then let it go and rest a moment. And so now let's try the same thing with the left leg. So your left leg rolls out to the left. You bring the left foot standing. Your head is moving with you. Then the right leg. And you're moving in this easy circular movement. Again, noticing what's different on this side. Can you turn it into a pleasurable, luxurious movement? Like there's nothing else important right now except this experience. Imagine that you're doing it on the beach. And then let it all go and rest. Take a moment to notice how your legs are coming out of your pelvis right now. Does it feel different in the front of your abdominal area now? And the sense of the contact of your back with the floor. And now, what would happen if you did both legs at the same time? So both knees opening out to the side, dragging up, and then both feet coming to standing. What does your pelvis choose to do in this context? So those of you who have experienced lessons that involve the pelvic clock, you'll feel this movement of the pelvis up and down, your lower back maybe coming up off the floor as your knees come apart, and then your lower back coming closer to the floor as your knees come to standing, or as your feet come to standing, I should say. And here again, can you notice, do you have a moment where you feel like you need to grab your butt? And as you're doing this movement, what do you feel through the whole spine? And if again, here, you give yourself that image of the long, flowing spine, thinking of that spine remaining on the floor for a moment as you move your legs, does that change what's happening in your groin muscles and in the way you bring your legs to standing? Just noticing. And then let it go and rest. So sometimes when we do the movement of both legs together, there can be some tension and discomfort because we're creating this big space in between our legs. And so acknowledge that, sense that. Coming back to your breath. And now come back to moving your head right and left, the way you did earlier. And I'd like you to begin moving your head in such a way that it's almost like a continuous perpetual motion. There's no stopping when you get to one side, but it's like it gets to that side and it just immediately wants to turn around and go the other way. So it's as if your head is just flowing from one side to the other side, allowing your eyes to do whatever you want to do. It doesn't have to be fast, but find a rhythm that really feels like it's yours, where it just goes right and left and however you want to do it. And as you're doing it, tuning into your breathing, sensing how your breath right now is being supported or supporting that movement. And really clarifying for yourself what your continuous rhythm is. And then pause a moment. And now go back to the movement of bending both of your legs out to the left, bringing your feet up to standing, and then opening them back out. And pay attention to the rhythm that you're creating with that. Right? So it's different, right? There's a need for maybe a bit of a pause, and it's in four parts. as opposed to two parts, right? Your head is right and left. Your legs are in and out, or out and in, right? And feel how that's moving through you. Can you feel that your pelvis is moving in flexion and extension? And then pause again and begin to move your head again. Your head is moving in rotation, right? It's moving back and forth, back and forth. And some of you I see have already decided to take up the challenge. So go ahead. As you keep your head in continuous motion, can you also begin to move your legs in the rhythm that you had before? So you've really got, don't stop your head when your legs stop. See if you can keep your head going at its own pace while your legs are going. So now we've added challenge. We've added the possibility of complexity. How does that influence your breath, your ease, your jaw, right? Can you just keep that going? Both legs at the same time, both legs at the same time. I mean, you could do it the other way too, but. And then pause, rest a moment. And check in with yourself. If that felt complex enough, you can rest, you can repeat it. But if you would like to up it just one more thing, then could you do the same thing with the legs, the same thing with your head, but see if you can move your eyes in opposite directions. So your legs roll out to the side, your feet come up to standing, your legs go out to the side and your legs lengthen. Your head is in constant, or you could say perpetual motion, and your eyes are going opposite your head. Make sure that you keep breathing. If anybody starts to feel a little bit nauseous or vertigo or anything, please let go of the eyes. But see if you can keep your spine long and fluid as you're playing with this incredible differentiation. You're not just differentiating your eyes from your head. You are differentiating rotation from flexion and extension. You're using your hip joints in a very novel way. And then let it all go and rest. And check in on your breathing. Notice if you're going, oh, thank God, I can breathe now, right? So now, just go back to the original movement of just rolling your right leg out to the right and bringing your foot to standing. And then, of course, letting it go back out the other way. And notice for yourself how much work is involved now. How much do you have to move your pelvis? Do you have to contract anywhere? Is the movement in any way altered as a result of these different explorations? Then try the same thing with your left leg. And then pause with that and come back to your eyes and see what it's like to just move your eyes right and left. And as you're moving your eyes right and left, turn your attention to the back of your neck. Do you feel the same pulling impulse? Has it changed in any way? What's the sensation back there? And then leave your eyes and just turn your head. Notice how much of yourself you can sense as you're turning your head now. And then let that go. Take a moment to sense the length of your spine and its contact with the floor. Notice your thoughts. Where do they go right now? They're always with us. It's nice to notice them. And then when you're ready, slowly roll to your sides and come on up to standing. Take your time. And then once you're standing, just take a moment to sense the contact of your feet with the floor. Your impression of groundedness. Sense your shape. Do you sense the back of yourself as well as the front of yourself? Where are your eyes? What's it like to turn and look around? What do you feel as you turn? Can you feel how your pelvis is supporting those hip joints? And then take a walk around and just notice how those hips feel. Notice your breath, notice your state of mind. And that's the end of today's lesson. Thank you so much.